Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Away we go, the fourth, the final, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Spectacular, as always, to have you all. Very last hour of the Rob Brown Show until September 30th, when we make our triumphant return to the airwaves. But we got a couple of guests lined up for you in this hour of the show. In the next segment of the show, we're going to be joined from the BetQL Network by Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, joining us here on the show. We'll break down some Week 2 NFL action. Before we get there, however, we take a short jaunt down the road to Columbia, South Carolina, and that is where we find our next guest. She is a reporter for the Greenville News who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department at the University of South Carolina. She is the ever-lovely Lulu Kesson joining us here on the show. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. Happy Tuesday to you as well. Is it a happy Tuesday, Lulu? Like, are people a little less salty today about Saturday night?
I think so. I'll know more definitely later when I talk to some people from the team. But I would say the salty energy is starting to vanish a little bit.
I like that. I was very interested in, because we were playing a clip earlier when a couple of years ago, Will Muschamp was the coach, and he felt he got hosed by a call, and he said it. He came out, grabbed a mic, said, you know, they say in the SEC it just means more. I think it just means more depending on what logo you have on the helmet. On the flip side, Shane in the post-game press conference on Saturday, Lulu, was saying, like, I thought Lenoris got hit in the head. The referee said he didn't. I thought there was a little of this, a little of that. Here are the explanations I got. Didn't ever really say, I don't buy him. Certainly, to me, kind of had the vibe that he wanted to. Has there been any more noise, whether it's from Ray Tanner or Shane Beamer or anybody else, about conversations that have been going on? And frankly, does it matter?
Yes. So on Sunday, Shane Beamer talks to media with a smaller group, a weekly teleconference, and he admitted that right after the game, he contacted the SEC head of officials. From my understanding, that isn't necessarily unusual, I guess, after every, I don't know if it's just after every SEC game, but it's not unusual for Beamer or any one of the South Carolina football staff to submit some plays to the department, basically saying, like, what did you see here? What does that mean? Not like nothing crazy. But Beamer said, yesterday I submitted a lot and I called them immediately. And he kind of, I don't want to say he flip-flopped, but every time he brought up a question to the officials, he was very quick to say, but they didn't cause us to go offsides. They didn't cause us to do this, that, the other thing. Like, he recognized that the 13 penalties against his team can't all be the refs' fault if they were potentially controversial. But Beamer and Athletic Director Ray Tanner have apparently been in conversation and talking to members of like the SEC head of officials and their kind of department after the game on Saturday night.
Interesting. Do you have any thoughts? And I guess I'll ask you before we move on. Did you have any thoughts on it? We've obviously had pretty much no other discussion about that football contest outside of the controversy. There in the stadium when you were doing press conferences after, et cetera, what were your thoughts running through your head about the whole thing?
I was honestly surprised, but not surprised that it was as big of a focus as it became. First of all, 13 penalties in one game is the most called against South Carolina since 1998. And the reason I bring that up is because I think regardless of, I think the two pick six being like taken back is really what people are like kind of hyper-focusing on. But there, Beamer sort of addressed that there were some missed calls. There were sometimes, like you referenced, the Lenoris hit that he just thought in a game where there's so many penalties, why wasn't South Carolina getting this call or that call? However, I think fans and kind of the eyes and people who watch this game are really focusing on calls against South Carolina. I have a lot of thoughts, and I think that in a way, South Carolina was up 17-0, and you can sort of see the direct correlation to when LSU gained its momentum to when South Carolina started sort of drawing penalties. I mean, 7 of the 13 came in the fourth quarter. It's hard to not look at it as a little bit of a meltdown. You're playing against a team that I would argue, or anyone could argue, I guess, has more playoff experience, just program history-wise, excuse me. And it just sort of looked like South Carolina crumbled a little bit. And I think it's probably the easier thing to swallow is pointing at, you know, Nick Emanwori's pick six that got taken away late that probably would have sealed the game. But there were other instances where South Carolina failed to score and they only lost by 3. So it's sort of like, where do you really point the fingers to? And so I don't know if that directly answered your question as to where my mindset was, but I didn't directly look at it, even from a journalistic or putting myself in the eyes of a fan at, oh, the penalties cost South Carolina the game, or, oh, that play did, because I think that there were other dynamics in the game that showed South Carolina kind of suffered a little bit.
I don't disagree. Obviously, you do have to wonder, and hey, welcome to football. What's different if Sellers doesn't go down with that ankle injury, just to kind of a freak accident to get rolled up on, gave it a shot in the third quarter, unable to do it. What was the difference between the offense when Sellers was out there and when Robbie Ashford was out there? This is a young man, and Ashford transfers over from Auburn that Shane Beamer spent the offseason with very high praise for. He's got SEC experience. He can do just about everything Lenoris can do, et cetera, et cetera. What changed, in your opinion, in the offense from the switch to from Sellers to Ashford?
I think the biggest thing was that Sellers, despite the fact that he ran a 75-yard touchdown, which broke a school record for South Carolina quarterbacks, I just felt like in the first half, South Carolina's offense looked really assertive, really gutsy, which was impressive for a passing game that's still very much developing. And so I think when you're trying to get in rhythm and you're trying to stretch out your offense and see what your receivers can do, and then your quarterback gets hurt, and then you have Ashford, who, like you said, has experience and has talent, but is just less comfortable throwing the ball. And so I think that sort of energy and maybe even like the tone sort of suffered, because I think Ashford is just fundamentally a different quarterback. And while he fits into South Carolina's offense, I think what South Carolina was doing in the first half against LSU was just not comparable with how Ashford was going to go in a play.
Talk to me a little bit about the mentality of this team. This team, based on Shane Beamer's comments last week when he said, hey, look, a lot of folks going to be on the bandwagon. There's a lot of folks that are after the Kentucky win. This team came out and they executed. I mean, it was 17-0 at one point, and we kind of felt like this might be a boat race there until the injury to Lenora Sellers. Do you think that that is the true attitude and mentality of this team that started to shine through a little bit, or were they still riding the high from that win over Kentucky?
I definitely think that what will get lost is a lot of the good South Carolina displayed. Like you said, Sellers, obviously, he had a great first half. But I think, too, like Rocket Sanders, he had, I think it was like 100, almost 150 yards on 19 carries. He scored twice. Like, he really showed that South Carolina has been trying to get its run game back to where it was previously. And Sanders is really trying to get back to his old self pre-injury. And I think that the South Carolina offense really came out, like I said, like it was just a gutsy play in the first half. And I don't think that it was necessarily riding the high of Kentucky. I think it was just sort of like, okay, we're playing a really great team. Let's show them what we're made of, regardless of who we're playing. And I think that kind of mentality, if it is true, and like you said, it wasn't riding the high, it will help them because they have a tough schedule coming up. They have a tough October. And regardless of, you know, the week before, I think if South Carolina just goes in and starts the game assertive and isn't fearful on offense, which I sort of thought it was against Old Dominion, a little bit less against Kentucky, I think that'll really help them in these highly competitive SEC matches.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News covers the Gamecocks of South Carolina. You got Akron coming up this weekend before the bye week for South Carolina. As fortuitous as it can be in terms of at least giving yourself the opportunity to give Lenora Sellers a couple of weeks to get that ankle right, get back to as close to 100% as he can get. Do you think that'll be the plan? Do you think we see Robbie Ashford get the start on Saturday?
I think so. I don't necessarily think Shane Beamer is going to be like, oh, I need to like follow my word. But all preseason, all camp, his biggest thing before naming Lenora's QB1, he was like, we can win with multiple quarterbacks. He almost never talks about Lenora Sellers without talking about Robbie Ashford. He's very, I don't want to say careful, but he's very consistent in complimenting both. And Lenora, regardless of how bad his ankle is, like he's gotten hurt and missed some time in the last two SEC games, and they have a bye week after this week. So I think if you are looking long-term and you're looking at October where they have Alabama, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma, you want your QB1 healthy and you want Lenora healthy. So I think I think it's Ashford's time to shine on Saturday. I definitely think that he'll at least play the majority of the game. I don't see a scenario where he doesn't, but we will hear from Shane Beamer later this afternoon. Last time we talked to him, he hadn't seen Lenoris yet, so he had nothing to say about the status of his ankle. Know how he'll necessarily play it this week in terms of what he tells us about alternating between the two or if Ashford gets the start, but I would be surprised given just the schedule and what's ahead if Robbie isn't taking majority of the snaps on Saturday.
Lulu Kessin joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Got another couple of minutes here before we head off into, well, I head off into the football weekend. You got to work a few more days. Sorry about it. Talk to me a little bit about Rocket Sanders because he had a bit of a coming out party this weekend, a century mark in the books finally, and was massively important, certainly in the first half, but even more so in the second half when the run game needed to become more impactful. You know, I think Carolina fans were kind of waiting on him to prove the value that we all thought he had coming out of the transfer portal. Do you think that momentum continues for the young man out of Arkansas?
I do. And I have to say, he's genuinely one of just the nicest, like when you're talking to him about his recovery and you're talking to him about these, what I'd argue are pretty personal moments from when he's going through his shoulder surgery and recovering and transferring, like he really wants to give you insight as to what he was feeling and how he was dealing with everything. And I think that he is just the same as fans in the sense like he's been waiting for this. He wants to be back to his old self. But at the same time, he's human, and it's a process. It's a recovery. Ahead of LSU, Beamer basically said, like, we're a young team. It's about how we, you know, perform in the spotlight, but we're going to have to look to our veterans. And I think Rocket really stood out in that way. I think he really just kind of kept pushing, like, especially when LSU was gaining its momentum on offense. You could tell that Rocket, despite running a lot in the first half and probably being exhausted, he was like, we have more to do, more to go. That 66-yard touchdown was absolutely massive for South Carolina. And I think you could just kind of tell that he had a leadership energy about him. Obviously, the game didn't end up going in South Carolina's favor, but I felt like he sort of connected the offense in the second half when Lenoris wasn't out there, and he was sort of trying to bring the energy that was there in the first half into the second, and sort of, I think you could tell Ashford was leaning on that a little bit. And, you know, he said post game, like, yeah, I kind of had a career day at South Carolina, but we didn't get the win. Like, yes, his focus is on getting, you know, his own numbers back to where they can be. But I think at the end of the day, he just wants to help South Carolina win. And he was disappointed that they ultimately didn't do that. But I definitely think it was sort of a coming out party for what he's going to start to do at South Carolina and hopefully continue to do for the offense.
All right, Lulu, last one, and we'll let you go. Ordinarily in this spot, I would say South Carolina beats Akron if blank. But I think we can all kind of rest comfortably. This is a game that South Carolina should be able to come out and use it to sharpen things up. So instead, I will ask you, since I won't be here next week, South Carolina, in your mind, coming off the bye week, should look to accomplish what?
I think coming off the bye week and coming off a kind of week four non-SEC matchup, there has to be a step forward in the passing game. I think all along Beamer has talked about the only way the offense and the wide receivers and Lenoris are going to get better if they have time to gel. And that's some time to gel early on. That's a helpful bye week right before a lot of really talented defenses. So I think I don't want to say there's no excuse anymore if the wide receivers are a little sloppy because they're human and they're young, but I think the bye week, it should be very important to focus on the passing game and continuing to work that relationship with Lenoris and his tight ends and his wide receivers.
Love that answer. Love that answer. Lulu Kessing covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for Greenville News. She joins us ordinarily on Thursdays, but I'm leaving for like a week and a half. And Lulu was kind enough to move her schedule around to join us today, and we appreciate it greatly. Phenomenal stuff, ma'am, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Of course. Have a great wedding. Congrats again.
Thank you very much. You are the best. You are too kind. Lulu Kessing from the Greenville News. You can follow her on X at Lulu Kessing, LuluKessin. We'll come back here in just a moment from right now from the BetQL Network. Hayton Ass Mario joins us, talks a little NFL football that's coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
Or trap pick number one!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Rolling on with the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Robin the Great Malonzo with you, wrapping up our Tuesday. I almost said Thursday. Tuesday of broadcasting. We will be off tomorrow through the end of the month. So we're getting all our guests in over these 2 days. And last, but certainly not least, he is the former executive producer of Bet for the Cycle, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetQL network. He is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear right here on this fine radio station every weekday from 7 until 11 p.m. And on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, they have a very sexy guest that joins them, and he will again tonight. He is Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hating Ass Mario, joining us here on the show. What's up, big fella?
What is going on, Rob Brown? It is the last time, second to last time, we'll ever speak before you're a married man.
On the air. That is absolutely correct. It's weird, Mario, because I took until 40. I don't know if you saw it. We talked about this earlier.
Okay.
Did you see Jesse Palmer straight up murder a man on TV the other day? Because I got big getting bullied in high school vibes. I'll play the audio for you. This was during a Florida Gator game. Okay. And I thought about you. There were six or seven. There were six or seven, we'll say, attractive female co-eds. Okay. And dressed for outdoor Florida summertime football. Do with that information what you will, okay? And there was one guy that was there in blue and orange striped overalls with no shirt underneath and a mustache that says, I'm not allowed within 500 yards of a school. And Jesse Palmer body slammed this cat. Listen to this.
Oh,
it gets worse.
All right, hold on.
That's homicide.
See,
I have a rebuttal.
No. You're coming at Mario. Here's the thing. You're jealous of hair. A guy with hair like that talking about Mario, he's never been in the friend zone. So I don't know what you're doing. All right, go ahead, Mario.
My rebuttal really quickly is Jesse Palmer obviously knows a lot about relationships, apparently, because, you know, he's on The Bachelor, which, you know, those relationships are always really successful after.
Batting 100.
Yeah. When you go to Southern schools and you see maybe a guy that's, you know, it's not really attractive and maybe has a mustache that doesn't really look great or is wearing overalls and he has a shirt off and he really shouldn't be wearing a shirt off, I would say about 9 times out of 10, that guy still has a very attractive significant other to the next to him. So I don't know if I agree with Jesse Palmer on this. That guy's probably dating one of those nice girls, and he's probably having a great relationship with them and having a great time. So that's where I'm going to push back, is I visited those Southern schools in my college heyday, and I was pretty confused. I was like, how does this work here? I feel like I was entering a different universe.
By the way, I basically said the same thing. And
thank you.
And here's the other thing, though. Dude was he's not a fat slob. Dude is in shape.
Yeah, in shape's a strong word.
Can I finish? Compared to at least two of the people talking right now, in good shape. That's all I'm saying.
That guy's not in better shape than me.
I've got a promo playing where you talk about your saggy booty.
I got a saggy ass for sure, but it's because I'm in shape. All right. Let's talk some football. I will start here, hating ass Mario, by, as I always do, making it about me. Is my team good, or have we played two not good teams and I'm being fooled?
If you would have played like the Panthers,
we did.
And the Commanders, and if you guys did that, then I'd be like, I don't know if this team's that good. You did it against the Cowboys in Jerry's world, and I think that's something to be said. And you somehow found the fountain of youth in Alvin in the backfield with three touchdowns, a rushing, obviously one passing as well. And Derek Carr suddenly looks like the Derek Carr of his earlier years. We're like, hey, I think this guy can be a top quarterback in the NFL. I think the Saints team's actually like pretty legit. And they're a very fun team to watch. And they're number one in what? Yards per play. I believe they have one of the best, third best rushing offense in the NFL. Dude, this team is legit. They have a lot of weapons, a lot of ways they can beat you. And their division is not really a hard division. They have to take out the Bucs, is like their toughest opponent. And like the Bucs, while they did have a great win against, you know, the Detroit Lions this past week, their injuries are just killing them left and right. I think Vita Vea got hurt this past weekend as well, to add on top of it. So they're going to be missing guys for the next couple of weeks. Baker Mayfield will probably find his level of, yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm not fantastic. I think this team's pretty legit. I'm excited to see what they do going forward. I'm a firm believer in the Saints. You have the Eagles, I think, at home upcoming this week. And if the Eagles taught you anything last night, is they will always keep the door open for you to win. You just got to make sure you kind of get there. I think Derek Carr and the crew can get there.
I'm interested. Against Carolina, 9 consecutive drives with points scored. 2 punts at the end of the game just to end the game. Against the Cowboys, 6 with points scored. Then an interception, a punt, and a field goal. The INT was just a bad throw, but there was a minute 37, or 13 left to play in the game. And Carr at that point had a 35-point lead. Like, it just... I want to buy in, and I want to believe, and I want to give credit to Clint Kubiak for what he's done with this offense, but I think I need one more. And I'm not saying you got to go out and put a 40 burger up this weekend, but if you go out and you win the game, then I think I can jump on board. Flip that over for me. Dallas Cowboys, did we make too much out of the Cleveland win? Like, are they any good?
You cut out for me a little bit right there.
Yeah, I saw that. Flip that conversation on its head. Talk to me about Dallas. Did we get tricked by Cleveland, or was this just a mid-team playing a good team? I don't know what happened.
We got tricked by Cleveland. I think the Cowboys are similar in the Bears, where they have a lot of pieces around them that make sense, and this team should be pretty decent. This team should be pretty good. But there's one mistake that both teams made in this offseason that they just decided not to fix, and that is the head freaking coach. Mike McCarthy, there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl, and it's because of Mike McCarthy. There is a reason why the Chicago Bears have not been relevant the past 3 years. It's also because of Matt Eberflus. He only knows one side of the football. He has no idea what to do on the other side of the football. It's a clear issue, and it's a classic Bears way. Anyways, not to make this a Bears conversation. The Dallas Cowboys, they're always a step behind, and they seem like in every game they play, when it comes down to the last second, they're just always not prepared under Mike McCarthy. Now, did that game go to the last second against the Saints? No, but they got popped in the mouth, and when this team gets popped in the mouth, they tend to stay down. They don't pop back up. They go down. And I think I know Jerry loves the offseason drama of the contracts, and he loves the attention it brings. It's not good attention, though. Like, that's not good for your team to have. And by the way, Parsons is still wanting a contract. And I'd argue that the players that you extended, like, he might be almost your most important guy, especially if you're looking at that defense. You saw how they looked this past week. I'm not a firm believer in the Cowboys. I never have been, never will be, not until there's a new head coach there. Mike McCarthy's going to keep them behind in every game they play. That he's going to keep them behind in the playoffs. They will never be a legit team under him. It's just the world we live in. Will he get fired after this year? I don't know. Jerry Jones also kept Jason Garrett there for a weirdly long period of time, and no one really understood that either.
Talk to me about Carolina. They make the decision to bench Bryce Young, even as maybe the last of the Bryce Heekins over here still saying, I blame the team. And I blame the team because Baker went down to Tampa. He's playing well this year. He's earned a $100 million contract. Sam Darnold just beat San Francisco for the Minnesota Vikings. He's having a great time. You know, it's kind of like Taylor Swift with breakup songs. At some point, the album should be called Maybe It's Me. I'm trying to defend the guy. They're going to go with Andy Dalton this week. Is Bryce Young cooked, and is there any hope at all for Panthers fans?
I've never seen a team, when I was watching this Chargers game, and I was rewatching some of it yesterday, I've never seen a team, as soon as they hit adversity, put their head down quicker. Like, I was king body language yesterday, which maybe that's just because of my high school football coach and my college lacrosse coach screaming in my ear how much body language matters. And I was just looking at it, and after every bad play, everything that just slightly went wrong, only Hubbard, I would see that, like, had energy still. Everyone else just, like, really slugged their shoulders. And I was like, dude, this is – what is going on over here? Bryce Young, I was a believer in. He had a very tough game, obviously, last weekend, the week before that. But the things that just seemed concerning to me was, one, that screen pass to Adam Thielen, which was just way far ahead of him where he almost had to dive for it. I was like, what is going on there? The interception that he threw also, where there was just no window in which that was open. I mean, there is blue all over that, and he's still trying to thread the needle in there. Maybe that works in college, maybe with the receivers you have at Bama, but that's sure as hell not going to work here in the NFL, especially when we're on the Carolina Panthers. This team is not good. I do agree with you on that. Do I think he should have been benched? No. I wouldn't have benched him. I think putting Andy Dalton in right now makes what sense? You want to be better? What was this team going to, like, through two games, we know you're not a good football team. You're not going to make a playoff run. You're not going to do anything. Like, you might as well let the young guy get his licks in and learn how to overcome this stuff and just let him improve throughout the year. Like, I truly don't get it, Rob. Like, I don't get why starting Andy Dalton's, like, this better move. I don't know what it brings to the table.
I'll tell you what I said yesterday, said it again last night, said it again today on the show. I'm glad this is happening. Not for Bryce Young, because again, I think Bryce has been broken by this team, and I think the only way to fix him is to let him go out there and struggle and fight and figure it out. Sometimes you just got to throw him into the fire. I'll tell you why I'm glad about this. I'm glad about this because I think they're going to send out there Andy Dalton. I think the Panther fans are going, oh, we're going to be competitive. I think they're going to get blown out by the Raiders this weekend, and I think I'm going to get to come back in here after, well, probably 2 weeks of that happening on the 30th of September. And go, hey, maybe it's the franchise. Maybe it's the team. Maybe it's the coaching staff. Like, and I want to have faith and I want to have a belief in Dave Canales, and I do, but Canales was a guy that all offseason was like, oh, we're going to do this and we're learning this and we're working on this. And then yesterday benched Dalton and they're like, hey, what made you make the decision? It's private. I don't want to talk about it. It's a personal conversation. Like, dude, you just changed everything, which, and again, conspiracy theory, I'm putting the aluminum foil cap on. That makes me think it's a Tepper thing again, which we can't do anymore. That's a whole different discussion. The point here is I'm glad it's happening, and I like Andy Dalton, but he's going to be my sacrificial lamb here. If Dalton comes out and the Raiders beat the hell out of the Panthers, all the, oh, Bryce sucks stuff has got to stop, and I'm tired of hearing it.
Yeah, and then what are you going to do after? Put the kid back in? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I don't understand. Like, if the team continues to struggle, are you going to go, all right, now it's time to put Bryce Young back in, and then you're going to do like this every two games, you change the QB again, think it's just always a QB that's a problem? No, like, the team's just not very good. Like, that's the problem. And with Dave Canales, I really hope he doesn't get, like, if they have the, you know, first overall pick and they, you know, go on to be terrible this year, I really hope he doesn't get canned. Like, I think maybe he deserves one more shot. like, you know, get one more pick. This thing, people fall in love with that teams can change overnight and not that it takes a couple years. And that's, I think, the other, like, sickening factor is everyone wants their QB to be C.J. Stroud. Everyone does. But no one wants to wait the process out to get the Josh Allen, to get the Peyton Manning, to get the Patrick Mahomes. Everyone wants the stuff overnight, which is fantastic. I would love stuff overnight. If I could take a pill right now and wake up in the morning with a six-pack, you better believe I would do it. If I could get a pill and I turn 6'5", I would do that in a second. And you told me I got to go slap my nephew to do it. Nephew, come here. You're catching five. That's just, it's what it is. Everyone wants everything quick and fast, but sometimes stuff takes long and stuff's a process.
See, people, that's why we worry about Mario.
I would say Oprah could help you with that weight loss, but anyway.
Hating ass Mario. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network, former producer of Bet for the Cycle, noon to four on the BetQL Network, current executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this station from 7 till 11 p.m. every single weeknight. I will be there this evening at 8 o'clock to talk about I don't really know what. We'll figure it out when we get there. Who the hell cares? Mario Heron for the BetQL Network. Appreciate you, big dog. Thanks for changing your schedule up for us, pal.
Of course, of course. Quick, can I ask a wedding question? Do we have time for a wedding
question? Yeah, you got like 12 seconds.
Do I have to RSVP since I was like a late ad? Or do
oh,
I
you
not?
Didn't RSVP yet? No, you're out. Sorry, bud. That's yes, that's how adults work. You have to RSVP. No, you're good.
Oh,
you're good.
Okay. I had panic attack last night. When I was
what if I legit was like, oh no, we filled up all the spaces. You can't come.
I mean, I would just call the hotel and pull the craziest excuse to get a refund.
Mario, I will see you tonight, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, if you're not there already, I need you to come to the stream right now, facebook.com/thefanupstate, facebook.com/thefanupstate, or you can get at us on YouTube, The Fan Upstate, The Rob Brown Show, on Twitch, Facebook, or YouTube. Why? You may ask. It is because Lonzo captured footage of what I don't believe is a chupacabra. I cannot say for certain it's not. I can't say for sure it's not.
Too tall to be a chupacabra.
It is. It is. I'm relatively sure it's a turkey. But we're all going to watch Lonzo's Bigfoot footage style cinematography here and see if we can have. Now, set me up here. This was outside your house.
All right, driving up my driveway, and there's a creature in my driveway. So I don't know if the creature is going to move out from in front of my car as I drive up the driveway. And if the creature, said creature, is going to attack me when I get out of my car, and I live in the middle of the woods. So.
He does live in the middle of the woods. I've been there once. It is a comp. When I call it the compound, it's not a joke. Not ha-ha funny. It's compound.
And you weren't there in summer.
Or nighttime.
Well, there's that. That's also scary.
So, we had the footage, and we're going to roll it through. You can see it right there. It's at the bottom of the screen. If you're watching, I can kind of highlight it with the mouse. It's right there in the bottom. I'm relatively certain it's definitely a bird. All right. Whether it's
a
turkey.
By the way, it's definitely a bird. There's no doubt it's a bird.
Yeah.
But it's, it looked very Jim Henson like for a while.
It does look a little Muppety. Cause I will say, like, my thought was when it's moving, like, it's got a turkey head bob, and there it goes. It turns around. And that's where I got sold on turkey. It's that, like, methodical head turn and then body turn with it. I think turkey, but here's the thing. It's white. Like, clearly, daytime, middle of the day, it's white. So it's either an albino turkey or it's a turkey that's, like, sick, got mange, its feathers fell out or something. I can't tell. Or it's another bird that's white that lives out in the woods.
See, here's the thing. It ended up in the backyard later on in the day.
Is it a duck, maybe?
And I was going to say it had a very duck-like sound when it didn't sound like a turkey. It sounded more, it had a honk. It honked. So at first
can
I thought.
Can you do the honk? Can you imitate the honk?
No, I cannot.
You got to get as close. We might have some ornithologists out there that can go, oh, that's a...
I will say it sounded like a goose honk, but I don't think it's a goose.
It doesn't have the neck for a goose unless there's like a...
You can't see how long the neck really is. It doesn't look like a goose. It looks like a chicken mixed with something else, and I call it a gicken because I don't know what it is. It's a creature in the woods. Gicken sounds like a good name.
I'm going to let if you're not watching this, again, the stream is up all 4 hours.
It's a mix of a goose and a chicken. I just don't. It's weird.
It's fair. I'm going to lean on turkey, but it's a weird looking turkey. All right. Can't tell if it's like an albino. If it's an albino turkey, that's really cool. That's like 1 in 5,000. Yeah.
I didn't post the video because I didn't take good enough video. And
You definitely were looking over your phone while you filmed it.
Well, yeah, in case it rushed. I mean, I don't know what that thing's going to do. I mean, it's not like I'm not scared of the thing.
I just want to be prepared.
I could have killed the thing. I'm more worried about it having something that could kill me, like some sort of disease or something.
Oh, we also learned earlier today that birds can't get rabies. So that's...
At the time, I did not know that.
We did not know that before 7:40 today.
It's a good thing Rob's not playing the sound because there's probably a little fear in my voice. I got to be honest.
I thought about it. I really did. I thought about unmuting. I didn't know.
Yeah, I turned the sound up, but I mean.
I'm going turkey, but I'm going turkey that's got... Like it's got something wrong.
Hey, I've posted videos of snakes being on my door and things like that. So it's not unusual where I am.
It's not unusual.
But I looked a turkey buzzard because I know those are out there, and it doesn't look like a turkey buzzard. It does. I don't know what it is, and I'm guessing when I go home today, especially with the weather we've had, it's out there having a good time.
I don't want
baby its to be out there because then you have a lot of gickens around and you don't know what to do.
Gickens. It's like we're starting a horror movie based around
exactly.
Lonzo's compound.
You know where I live? It's a gicken, man. I don't know what that is.
I'm banking on turkey. I'm banking on turkey and it's either an albino turkey or something's wrong with it. One or the other.
That I'm going with there's something wrong with it.
You know what? Paste that on the Fan Upstate Facebook page. Let's see. Because you know there's going to be some dude out there that's like, ah, hot!
By the way, I want to tell you, the first person I sent the video to?
Your wife.
No, Dagum Cole. Well,
Dagum Cole Bryson.
Dagum Cole Bryson.
What did Cole say?
He didn't know what it was. He took some guesses, but I was a little disappointed. I thought Cole would come through. I know other hunters that I could have sent it to. I could have sent it to Odie. I could have sent it to some other hunters, but I sent it to Cole because I knew that Cole would know what it was, and he didn't.
That right there is a South Carolina blizzard turkey. Is what that is.
Could be. I don't.
That's a good Thanksgiving eating right there. All right. It's a turkey. It's got to be a turkey.
I think Cole said he would just use his shotgun.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
And I was like, yeah, it's what I figured.
Hey, Cole, you see that? What's...
Yeah, they didn't you?
Let's go find out!
Let's check the carcass and see what it was.
That's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for being here again. Thank you for letting me be me. Thank you for allowing me to do this dumb job. Thank you for letting me be the best version of myself while I do this dumb job because legitimately I moved here, not in a good way. You guys, by letting me do this job and have fun doing this job and be myself on the radio, allowed me to find myself once again, if I may be the notebook levels of cliche for just a minute. And in doing so, you let me find somebody I love. Now I'm going down to Florida this weekend to marry that woman. Next time I speak to you, the ring will move from the right hand to the left. Thank you guys for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you back here on Monday, September 30th. Don't miss us too much. Three out the door.
And then I missed the
four
button.
out the door.
It's all right. It's all right. I got a couple weeks to recover. Do miss us. Miss us a lot.
Yeah, tell
send
our,
emails and texts saying, where are they?
Yeah, text our boss. Tell him how much you love and miss us. Y'all have a spectacular week and a half. We'll see you back here on September 30th. Sincerely, again, I love you all. Thank you very much. For Lonzo, I'm Rob Brown. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone! Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one!
Or trap pick number one!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.